right. Remain standing, if you will. Turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32. For the message this evening, Brother Bell reminded me of something that was said this morning that might well use some clarity. I think I understand what he meant. I've made the statement similar to how that he made it. I don't think that he meant it in a connotation that it may have been taken. I don't know. But the missionary made the statement. He said, God's done all he's going to do. God's not doing any more. Well, if he's not, then people won't get saved because the Holy Spirit's got to draw sinners. Amen. God is still working. Amen. And it did almost sound like that he was saying that, God's done everything. Now your job is just to walk in, step up to the plate and take it. And if that be the case, then salvation's in our lap. It's in our power, but it's not. Amen. But also at the same time, what he's saying is God's done so much that he's offered salvation. Salvation is there. Don't you wait for something else to happen. Get up and call on the Lord and you can get saved. I believe that. Amen. And you can come to Christ if you only will. That's right. Amen. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And I'm going to read one verse of scripture. This is a unique portion of scripture. And I'm going to preach it in a different fashion somewhat. I usually preach expository over several verses. But tonight I'm going to preach over one verse, still expository. But it's got a subject in there that I believe might be a help. And hope that it will for us tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 25. Look at verse number 25. Matter of fact, we'll back up to verse 24. It'll help us. In those days, hang on a minute. I wasn't on. Thank you, brother. I'm sorry. Sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and gave him a sign. Now here's our verse. But Hezekiah rendered not again unto the according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. I want to read verse 25 again. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings.
Yes, we do, Lord. Thank you.
Many blessings you've given us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come to the house of God tonight. Be with those that are not with us for one reason or another.
Help, Lord, yes.
Traveling and those that may be sick and afflicted in body, you grace and help to them. I pray, Lord, for those by way of radio and here in the auditorium to listen to the message of thy word. I pray and ask that you'll speak to our hearts. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Well, I'm still not on. Okay. Oh, I see. All right. There we go. All right. This verse that I read to you, it's very obvious that Hezekiah did something wrong. Or he failed to do something right. And I believe that it is the fact that he sinned by way of omission, that he failed to do right rather than doing wrong. But the reason it was wrong, in other words, that he failed to do right. Now, look at it. I want to show you four things, and these are the four points I'm going to preach tonight. By the help of the Lord, really probably just doing an introduction into the thought. I'm preaching on the sin of thanklessness. We just came through Thanksgiving. America is full of unthankful people. Thanklessness. And Hezekiah got called on the carpet for that, if I could say it that way, in the scripture. Look at the first part of verse number 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done to him. First thing you notice, there was a benefit done for Hezekiah. Second thing you notice, that he sinned in not rendering again, according to the benefit that it was done unto him. Thirdly, that sin was an omission caused by and evidenced by a sin in his heart. The Bible said, for his heart was lifted up. You see that? Pride got in his heart. And that's why he was not thankful. And then number four, that sin had an effect, and that sin had punishment not only to him, but also unto the people he governed, in the fact that it said, therefore, wrath was upon him, or there was wrath upon him, and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now I want to look at these 4 points, if I can, and enlarge on those, and get some thoughts that I hope might be helpful for us. And if I can point out some things. First of all, there had been a benefit done for Hezekiah. Something good had happened in Hezekiah's life. God had been merciful to Hezekiah. Amen. Hezekiah had become deathly sick. He had a sickness, the scripture read in the verse right before that, that he was sick to the death. It was a deathly sickness that had come upon him. Matter of fact, God spoke to the prophet Isaiah and said, go pay Hezekiah a visit. Tell him to put his house in order. He's going to die. Thou shalt die and not live. That's the words. That's recorded in Isaiah and in 2 Kings as well. Matter of fact, turn back to 2 Kings and we'll just read that record. 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20 and verses 1 through 6. Second Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Amen. So you notice there was a benefit that had been done unto Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a sickness that was unto death. Jewish historians claim that Hezekiah's sickness and the assault of the Assyrians happened at the same time. Jewish historians say that within 3 days' time, Josephus says, within 3 days' time, Hezekiah was smitten sick, pronounced to die, God healed him, and then God turned and routed and defeated and destroyed the army of the Assyrians all at one time. Now that's not Bible, that's historians. They say that happened within 3 days. But I do find it interesting. Look at verse number 6. That God linked these two things together. I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So he put it together. I'm not only going to heal you. I'm going to protect the land, this city. And I will defend this city for mine own sake. And for my servant David's sake. Nothing short of a miracle there. That God healed a disease that otherwise was a deadly disease. And that God defeated an army, conquered an army that otherwise would have been unsurmountable by the city of Judah or Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. But here's what I know. Look back at verse number 5. That last phrase in verse number 5. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. So if the historians are right, and I don't have any reason to believe they were wrong, I know the Bible's right. Then God said, I'm going to heal you and I'm going to defeat the Assyrians and I'm going to give you 3 days. You're going to come to the house of God and give me thanks. Amen. The idea was that God had done that benefit. Praise God. Amen. That benefit of blessing him. Matter of fact, God not only healed him, but he promised him 15 more years. If you remember the story that's encountered here, the actual happening, Hezekiah asked for a sign. And Isaiah said, what do you want on your sign? You want the, he's using a sundial. Do you want the shadow to go forward 15 degrees or backward 15 degrees? Hezekiah said, the sundial goes forward 15 degrees every day, but it never goes backwards. Let me see it go backwards. It went backwards 15 degrees. God proved what he's going to do to Hezekiah, and he did it. God did an amazing miracle in Hezekiah's life. Matter of fact, as I said, he not only healed him, he added to his life. So he did exceeding abundantly above whatever Hezekiah asked or thought. Amen. Hezekiah here we see turned his face to the wall and prayed and asked God to deliver him. And God did that very thing. Amen. Now, again, the historians tell us that the word of that spread far and wide. Because word was that Israel was about to be defeated by the Assyrians. And word was that the Israeli king, or Judah, I should say the Jewish king, is about to die. And that they say that princes stood in awe around Hezekiah, that people from far and near brought him presents. As a matter of fact, we know it's the truth that the king of Babylon sent a letter and sent presents and sent people there to honor Hezekiah as he had risen from his deathbed. In other words, here's my thought on that. We see here King Hezekiah was looked upon by all these other people as one who was highly favored of God. He was greatly blessed of the Lord. Amen. He was honored by men, and he was favored by God. Instead of sickness and death, he faces prosperity and health. Instead of embarrassment and defeat, he faced enemies that were destroyed and defeated. Amen. And afraid to come up against him again. And instead of poverty and shame, Hezekiah found his treasury increasing and his wealth increasing because they brought the presents to them. I want to apply that to our own life. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we forget how good God has been to us.
Amen.
We had a sickness unto death, if I could say it that way. Amen. Headed to death. The wages of sin is death. Amen. And somehow, and by the way, the Word of God pronounced judgment upon us. That's the only way you'll ever get any help is for the Word of God to pronounce judgment upon you. Amen. I believe the first step towards repentance is acknowledging sin, knowing that there's sin in your life that's got to be dealt with. Amen. And God pronounced that to Hezekiah. God pronounced that to me. And thank God that He did. And I'm glad I turned my face to the wall, so to speak. I turned towards God and I called on God, not because of what I'd done, but because what another son of David had done. Amen. And what that in God's mercy, God granted me life. But not just life here, but eternal life. A lot more than 15 years, thank God. I've experienced God's mercy. I've experienced God's grace. There was an enemy around me. Not only was I headed towards death, but there was an enemy had me surrounded. The devil and his imps had me right where they wanted me and were going to kill me, destroy my life, and drag my soul to hell. But by the good grace of God, God defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. I have reason to be thankful and reason to praise God. Amen. We could talk a lot about things like that, but if we're not careful, we'll do like Hezekiah did. In days of blessing and days of prosperity, so often men tend not to think clearly. Amen. Sometimes it's easier to think clearly when there's trouble brewing than there is when you're on the victory side. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the winds of popularity and prosperity and health and promotion may easily blow our ship off course. And that's what happened to Hezekiah. I want you to notice the second thing. He sinned by not rendering again for the benefit done unto him. Look again at our verse in our text, 2 Chronicles 32:26-25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done to him. Amen. Now, as I said, God promised Hezekiah he's going to give him life. He's going to grant him health. He's going to give him an additional 15 years to rule over Israel, that he's going to defeat the Assyrian army. And God gave him that thing, that in 3 days you're going to come again to the house of God. I tell you, God's blessings on us was not just so we could go on our merry way.
Right.
When God saves sinners, He expects them to go to the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. When God does something good for us, He expects us to go to the house of God and He expects us to render thanks unto Him for the good that He's done to us. Amen. Now, here's something about Hezekiah. I want you to think about it. Hezekiah was a good man. Hezekiah was a praying man. Hezekiah was a man who had been a holy man. He was a church-going man. He was a friend with the prophet Isaiah. He was a son of David who sat on the throne at Jerusalem, but he failed to render unto God according to the blessings that God had given him. He failed to render thanks to God according to His blessings. Now, you might say, wait a minute, preacher. I think I remember that Hezekiah did write a psalm of thanksgiving dedicated unto the Lord. And they set aside a special day, and it's true that they did. Matter of fact, if you want to turn to Isaiah, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, Isaiah chapter 38, Isaiah records this just like 2 Kings and Chronicles records it. Or as well as they record it. I won't say he records it just like they do, but as well as they do. But after, it starts off similar to the way 2 Kings did in chapter 20 about Hezekiah being sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet prophesied to him how he prayed and God gave him that victory. But I want you to notice down, and it talks about the degrees going backwards. By the way, let me say this. Hezekiah was a great man. In the days of Hezekiah, there was a search made for the Scriptures. In the days of Hezekiah was the times that most people believe that the Proverbs of Solomon were collected together and added unto to make what we know today as the book of Proverbs. In the days of Hezekiah, you remember there are some psalms that are called Psalms of Degrees? Could you guess how many Psalms of Degrees there are? 15. Because the sundial went back 15 degrees. Do you know who wrote those Psalms of Degrees? David wrote a couple, Solomon wrote one, and Hezekiah wrote the rest of them. Hezekiah gathered them together, and Songs of Degrees were like this. As Israel, as the people marched into Jerusalem, marched into the temple, as they stepped up the steps, they'd step up a step and sing a verse. And they'd step up another step and sing a verse. Then they step up another step and sing a verse. It was Psalms of Degrees. As they went up, each verse, not only the noise probably getting louder, the volume getting increased, but also they're rising to give praise unto their God. Boy, there's so much in there that shows me that Hezekiah was a good man. But he had a failure. And his failure was that although he did write a psalm, and although he did give God praise, it wasn't in accordance to God's blessing. That's what the Scripture says. It wasn't in accordance to His blessing. Look at verse number 9 of Isaiah chapter number 38. Isaiah 38. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And it starts reading what he said. I said, verse 10, verse 11, I said. Verse 12 talks about what he said. Verse 13, I reckon. And goes on and on from verse 10 through 20. We've got the psalm recorded that Isaiah had to sing before God. Now, I'm not going to read it because that's not my message, not my thought. But here's my thought. You say, well, preacher, and by the way, this psalm was not just sung one time. It was set up that on a certain day, it was to be sung again and again and again, probably on an annual thing, that this psalm was to be sung in praise and honor unto our God. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. If Hezekiah did write a psalm, and Hezekiah did sing it, and Hezekiah set up a special day in which to honor God, then why wasn't that good enough? Here's why. God's not impressed with the words you say or the days you set apart. God's looking at your heart. And that's what was wrong with Hezekiah. The Scripture says it plainly back in 2 Chronicles 32. And verse number 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit. And notice that again, not just that he didn't render again, but he didn't render again what he should have. Amen. Didn't render again according. Amen. Let's say you go to a restaurant and you sit down with a family and let's say your bill is somewhere around $100. And you get ready to tip the waitress and you leave her a quarter. Is that gonna excite her? And that might excite your wife because you don't leave her a quarter. Say amen, ladies. I said, say amen, ladies. All right. but the idea here's my point. If you leave that lady a quarter, It's going to offend her. Because she's worked hard, and rather than just say, I forgot it, you remembered that you're supposed to leave something, but you left something of little value. You left something that you had no need of, and so you didn't do what you should have done. Amen. That's how Hezekiah rendered to God. God had done something great for Hezekiah. Hezekiah knew he should do something, and he did something. But it wasn't in accordance to what it should have been, according to the scripture here. Amen. So there was sin. So here's my thought. We got to realize that God is not satisfied with the words we say or the ceremonies or the formal acknowledgments that we give. Thursday, and this is why I'm preaching this message today, Thursday was Thanksgiving Day. All across our country, there was men sitting at a table giving thanks with beer in their hands. I guarantee there was. There was women that were giving thanks unto God dressed inappropriately. There was people all across our land, and maybe they wasn't even giving thanks to God, but they were taking a day off from work. It was a holiday, which was supposed to be a holy day. Amen. And in their mind, they're doing everything except giving God thanks. Amen. They got better houses to live in than they've ever had. They got better clothes to wear than they've ever had. They've got all kinds of blessings in their life, and yet they're going to snub their nose to God. They're going to take His benefits, and they know they ought to give thanks, but they're not going to give thanks according or as they should for the goodness of God. Amen. God notices the heart. Amen. God's looking for a holy and a humble heart. Look again at our text. Notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled not himself. No, I'm looking at verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. You see that? That is the sin of Hezekiah. Amen. God does not simply want us to say thank you with our lips. God wants us to say thank you with our life. Amen. God wants us to show Him our honor and our glory given unto Him, not just with words and not just for one day and not just for a segment of that day, but with our heart and with our life. Amen. The sin of Hezekiah, his heart was lifted up. God is honored by humility, but He's angered by pride. Amen. It is possible to get up and be doing something that on the outward looks as if you're doing it for God, but in reality you're doing it because of pride of your own heart. And God's not honored with such doings as that. Amen. Amen. There's another king in Judah in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. If you want to turn back there, had the same problem Hezekiah did. Now he's an ancestor of Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse number 19 tells us about Amaziah. Well, look back at verse 1. Let's go back there. Verse 1, it gives us, first of all, how he began to reign. 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. If that was where the period was, that'd be a good verse. But it goes on. But not with a perfect heart. What was his problem? He had a heart problem. Jump down to verse number 19. Verse number 19. Amaziah had witnessed the mercy and the grace of God in his life. He had seen God help him as he reigned over Judah. But it seems not to have had an effect on him, just like it did with Hezekiah. Amaziah allowed it to lift his heart up in pride. He sent word to Joash, king of Judah or Jerusalem, to prepare for war. Now we're at verse number 19. This is Joash's reply. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear. So here's what happened. Here's what happened with Amaziah. Amaziah had seen the blessings of God, but rather than it caused him to be humbled, Amaziah was lifted up in pride. Amaziah allowed these things to make him boast. His heart was lifted up to boast. Amen. There's a song that talks about it, says, I dare not boast of anything that I've done. Amen. What have we got to boast of? We can boast in our Lord. Amen. Paul said it this way, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so we have nothing to boast of but Jesus. There is a danger, I believe, in the hearts of men and women of being lifted up with pride when things seem to be going their way. Amen. I'm going to say this. You may be in good health, but you don't have any reason to pat yourself on the back for your good health, because it can change overnight. And it may not be as good today as you think it is. We never know. Amen. You may have good, prosperous business ventures. No need to pat yourself on the back because of your prosperous business ventures. That can change overnight. Simply say the reason your heart's beating is because God's good to you. The reason your lungs are pumping is because God's good to you. Amen. The reason you get a paycheck is because God's good to you. Amen. Amen. He could turn this whole thing around. I realize that America has been in a slump, and we could talk about the economy and all the kinds of stuff that's going on, and we can blame it here or blame it there, but can I tell you, the bottom could drop out. We could be in a famine before we know it. The shelves be bare. Our land not produced. By the way, the farmer can plow the ground and plant the seed, but he is powerless to make that plant grow. He is powerless to make that plant produce once it begins to grow. That only comes from the Lord. Amen. You may go fill out a job application, but you're not keeping that plant running. It's God keeping that plant running. Amen. I can go on and on and on, talk about the blessings of God and the goodness of God, but if we're not careful, we'll pat ourselves on the back. Well, things are going pretty good. Look at how I'm doing. Look at what I've done. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly which type of pride that got Hezekiah or got Amaziah as well. Just the fact that they were smitten with pride. It caused them to boast. It caused Amaziah to boast. In Hezekiah's case, it said his heart was lifted up. I want to point out some different types of pride. I think I've got four types of pride that I believe enters into the heart of men that can cause them to fail in this area. There's first of all the pride of arrogancy. The pride that men get when men take credit for God's actions. Amen. I remember hearing this story when I was just a young boy, went to a Bible conference with my dad. And this preacher was preaching that was a Southern Baptist. I didn't know what Southern Baptist was at the time. He'd been off to the convention somewhere. This was in the, probably would have been in the mid to later 70s. This man had gone to the convention and jogging had got to be real popular in that area. And matter of fact, you may remember Jimmy Carter came out and talked about physical education. They got to promoting that. They got to promoting it in school, and they got to promoting talking about how we need to exercise more, we need to be healthier, and we need to start conserving energy, and on and on and on. All that stuff started and people got excited about it. But this preacher was telling about that he was in a bookstore, and this fellow came in his jogging shorts, didn't have on any shirt, and had on tennis shoes and jogging shorts, and he's sitting there jogging in place. And the preacher started talking to him, and that man said, are you a jogger? And the preacher said, no, I'm not a jogger. And he said, well, what do you do for exercise? And the preacher said, I preach funerals for joggers. Amen. That's his exercise, preaching funerals for joggers. Well, here my point's this. And I'm not against jogging. I can't do it because I'd still be jiggling the next day. Amen. I'm not against you trying to better your health. I'm not making fun of that. But I am saying this, that the best you can do can't keep this ticker ticking and can't keep this body going. Life is one of these days going out of our body. And I believe there's one in heaven that's got control of that. Now, I do believe you can lengthen or shorten those days, and I believe you can find that in the Scriptures that God allows that to happen. Amen. But here's the point I'm trying to make. Don't get arrogant and take credit. It could be that Hezekiah did. He got well, and he might say, praise God, look at me. I overcame that. I defeated that disease. And maybe he got arrogant in his prayer life, just in the fact that he prayed and God heard him, and he got to taking credit for what God had done. Amen. I say, if God answers your prayer, it's not you that ought to get the pat on the back. It's God that ought to get the praise.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It's not that you're such a great prayer warrior, it's that you got such a great God that hears and answers prayer. Amen. But there's arrogancy that men take credit for the job that God had done. Turn to Deuteronomy. God warned of that in Deuteronomy chapter number 9. I'll show you some of these verses and move on to my last point and be done. Deuteronomy chapter number 9. As I said, I've got, I think, four of these sins of pride, different types of pride. Deuteronomy 9:4, the Bible says, speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Amen. So the point that we're getting there, God said, when you get in there, I'm driving that land out. I'm going to give you those nations. And I'm going to give you that land. I'm driving the nations out. But he said, don't you take credit for it and say, well, it's because of my goodness and because of my righteousness. No, he said, it's because I'm God and I've got the power to do it. Amen. Men get arrogant in thinking they're doing what God's doing. I think that happens sometimes in the pulpit. Men see some type of response to their preaching, and all of a sudden that's what becomes important because they start getting the credit for it.
Right.
Amen. I'll have to be honest. If I get a good message, it'll have to come from God because I can't produce a good message. Amen. If there's good results that come, it'll have to come from God because I can't produce good results. Amen. It'll have to come from God. There's the pride of arrogancy. Then secondly, there's the pride of conceit. When men admire their own greatness, they just look around and start taking credit. Start noticing, keeping account. Look at what all I have done. Nebuchadnezzar did that. You remember that? Daniel chapter number 4. The Bible says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? Of course, you remember the next verse. The Bible says, and God spoke to him and said, today the kingdom's gone from you too. Amen. Because Nebuchadnezzar had a great kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was apparently a great man. He was that head of gold on that beast idol that Daniel saw. He was that statue. Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, thou art that head of gold. He was a great man, but he didn't need to get lifted up in pride. Luke chapter number 1. Look here at this, and this is a good one. Mary said this in what's known as the Magnificat. You've heard that. She gave her praise after that the angel had told her about the birth in Luke chapter number 1. Of course, you know, she went down there and talked to Elizabeth. But here in Luke chapter number, let me find it, Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 51. Here's, she's given this praise to God. Look back at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Two things I wanted to point out, the reason I had you go back to that. You'll probably never know Him as Lord until you see Him. Or you never see Him as Savior until you see Him as Lord.
Right.
Amen. She called Him Lord before she called Him Savior. But Mary, in this verse, when we talk about the Virgin Mary, the word Mary ought to be capitalized because that's a proper name. But the V in Virgin is not capitalized because she's not deity. She was a virgin, but it's a little V. Amen. She's a good woman, but she wasn't deity. She had to have a Savior too. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Now, verse number 51 is where I want you to see. She's going through that and talking about the mighty, what God has done. And He hath showed strength with His arm. I lost my place. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You see that? She said, God's dealing with the proud. He's fighting with the proud because of the problem of their hearts, the imagination of their hearts. One thing I've noticed, most men that are proud, they're braggarts.
They are boastful. And most braggarts are not near as good as they think they are. The Bible talks about if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing. That's the case of most braggarts. Amen. He deceives him on self. Amen. Well, there's a danger of proud men giving themselves over to vain thoughts, imagining vain things, thinking themselves better than they really are. Sometimes even self-admiring thoughts. Thoughts like the one that wrote the song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." You remember that old song? There's people that almost actually believe that. Amen. Amen. Then there's the pride of self-dependence. And that's when all's going well, God is forgotten. That's back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We looked at chapter 9 a moment ago. Jump back to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. God warned of that. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verses 11 through 17. God gets forgotten sometimes. We don't give Him the credit. We take the credit and we even forget God if we're not careful. Here's what He said, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full." That sounds like us, don't it? Amen. You say, "Not tonight." No, but you ate enough Thursday. You shouldn't have to eat till after the weekend's long gone. Amen. All right, let me get back. "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Notice He said that your heart gets lifted up. That's what causes you to forget God. Your heart's lifted up. All right. Verse number 15. "Who led thee through this or that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, and brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." What happens? Man takes credit for what God has done. That's arrogancy.
Right.
Amen. Man starts pondering on what he thinks he has accomplished. That's conceit. But man forgets God, leaves God out of the picture. I wonder how many promises have been made in hospital rooms across our nation through the years. They'll make a promise to God, "Lord, if you'll let me get out of this, I'll serve you." Amen. How many times riding down the road, maybe they've had one too many beer, or one too many of something, and they're riding down the road and almost get in an accident, and they say, "Lord, if you let me survive this, if you let me get home safe, I'll never do this again." They forget it. They forget it. God gets them home safe. Amen. You know what they say? "Oh, I can drive as good half lit as I can when I'm sober." No, you can't either. It was the grace of God that got you home. Amen. You better not forget God. Let me say lastly about this sin of pride. There's the pride of vanity or vainglory that gets in men's life. When we imagine ourselves to be ostentatious, We imagine ourselves that we deserve those honors. I mean, our head was made for the crown. Amen. And we feel like that we deserve the honors. And that could very well be what happened to Hezekiah. If you want to look back in Isaiah chapter 39, we read chapter 38, a portion when he talked about that psalm that Hezekiah wrote. Look at chapter 39. Verse number 1. "At that time, Merodach-Baladan..." Don't none of you parents or you ladies that are expected to name your children something like that. Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Look at this. "And Hezekiah was glad of them." Hezekiah felt like You know, I deserve this. That's what I read into that. I believe Hezekiah was glad for it. Well, yeah, now I'm getting some recognition like I deserve. And gets that vain glory as if he deserved those honors. And he was glad for them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ornament, all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And you remember the story, Isaiah came and said, because you've done that, everything you showed them is headed on to Babylon. They're going to take it back with them one of these days. Now, they did say he's not going to do it because of mercy. God's not going to do it in your reign, but he's going to do it in the reign of your son. Here shows you the problem with Hezekiah's heart. Hezekiah said, well, that'll be all right. As long as I get to enjoy it, and of course I'm paraphrasing it. As long as I get to enjoy it, who cares what happens with it when I'm gone? It's as if Hezekiah said this, as long as I can lay in my bed of pleasure, who cares what happens to the children? And we've got a generation that's grown up with that mentality. Amen. They might have a few dollars, but instead of buying medicine for their children, they're going to buy beer or cigarettes or another game. They're going to do something with that money for themselves.
Right.
Who cares about what happens to the kids? Now, let me give you my last point here, and I'm back to 2 Chronicles 32. Let me get back over there. I lost my place now. 2 Chronicles 32. That last phrase, verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again, according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Look at this phrase. Therefore, there was wrath upon him. And I'll say again, if that's where the period was, it might be all right. But there's not a period there. Not only was there wrath upon his person, but there's wrath upon his people. Wrath was upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notice, wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Wrath was upon his person. Amen. By the way, I want you to notice how near these things are together. In this verse, there's actually only a comma that separates the lifting up of his heart, comma, and wrath. Therefore, there was wrath upon him. That's how much God hates pride. His wrath is revealed against the pride of men. Amen. God hates pride. Amen. He used it, it's almost as if it's immediate. His heart was lifted up and there was wrath upon him. Proverbs says it this way, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Amen. So he said, right before destruction, there's pride. So right after pride, there's destruction. That's what he's saying. Pride goeth before destruction. Destruction comes along quickly, it looks like, after pride. We read through the scriptures over and over again that God hates pride. Numerous places the Bible says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I'll just simply say pride's not a good thing. Amen. I'm thankful that Mr. Trump's talking about, he says, make America great again. I'm thankful for the fact that he's acknowledging that America is not great like it has been.
Right.
And that it can be great again. Amen. But I don't want to be proud to be an American. Amen. Because God hates pride. Even American pride.
Right.
Amen. I want to be thankful. I want to be honored. I want to give God glory. Hallelujah. I'd rather be an American than anything else.
Amen.
And if you hadn't, go on. Amen. Amen. Join some of this. Amen. Join some of this crowd that's out there. Amen. Melissa read me a thing that Joshua put up today. Our son Joshua put on it. He said, "Mr. Trump's not even been sworn in yet, and already the stock market's gone crazy. Fidel Castro's gone, and a bunch of movie stars saying they're going to move to Canada, and California's trying to vote themselves out of the union. Well, how can it get any better than that?" Let them go. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. God hates pride. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Notice the text says wrath was upon him. Speaking of Hezekiah. However, although wrath was upon him, he was not immediately destroyed. God had promised him 15 years, and he gave him all those 15 years. But it's almost as if it had been better if he had died. Because you probably do remember that in those 15 years, I don't know if Hezekiah had any sons, any children prior to that. But when Hezekiah died, his son named Manasseh became king, the worst king Israel, or Judah ever had. Israel had some bad, bad, bad guys. Judah had mainly good kings. Amen. But Manasseh was the worst king Israel ever had. You know how old he was when he began to reign? 12 years old. Amen. Matter of fact, it's right here. Right here in chapter 33, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. I can't imagine. When I see how much America has been destroyed, over 8 years of sorry reign, how bad it might be with 55 years of ungodly, wicked reigning. But here's a man, 12 years old, young man, 12 years old becomes king. He had to have been born in that space of grace in Hezekiah's life. But he was born in the time that judgment was pronounced on Hezekiah, and in the time when the wrath of God was hanging over Hezekiah's head. Can I tell you, you may be living today and think, I've got it made, everything's all right because judgment's not fallen. That does not mean that wrath's not already on you. That does not mean that you're not appointed under wrath just because that things are going good today. One of these days that cloud will burst and the lightning will strike and trouble will come. Amen. Hezekiah came to him. He didn't die immediately. Wasn't immediately destroyed. But destruction was on its way. Wrath was upon his person. Wrath was on his people. Notice that. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now, you say, I don't understand that. Why would God afflict the whole nation for what the one man did? Well, here's one reason why. Is because when leaders sin, they lead into sin. Amen. When they start sinning, other people sin too. They follow right along with it. Amen. But here's another thing. When that large oak tree out in the forest finally falls to the ground, there's a lot of little saplings and other smaller trees that either are destroyed or damaged for the rest of their life. All because one big tree uprooted and fell over. Amen. That's one of the reasons why daddies better be really praying. Mamas better be really praying. Amen. Grandmas and grandpas better be really praying. Because these little saplings looking up to you. And if you fall, wonder who you're going to damage. Wonder who's going to be hurt. Wonder who will be destroyed because of your fall. Amen. I go back to the verse that the preacher used this morning. I've got it written down here in my notes. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Your life affects others' lives. It did in Hezekiah's life. Amen. Can I say that it would be bad enough to have the wrath of God hanging over our head because of sins that we've harbored in our own heart, sins that we have hidden in our own heart, have the wrath of God hanging over our head, but to think it's not just us. It's over our whole home. It's over our whole family. It's over our whole realm of influence that wrath is hanging over. It won't just affect you. It'll affect others as well. Amen. I'm going to say this in conclusion. Now I'm going to just ask a question. Daddy, are there things that you're hiding and harboring in your heart that's going to cause wrath on your son or daughter? I'd hate for God to have to wipe me off of the planet, but I'd rather He'd wipe me off than to wait and Him just wipe off my children one by one. My grandchildren. Amen. Mama, are the things that you're hiding and harboring in your heart? Not, I mean, you've seen the grace of God. You celebrated Thanksgiving Day with your lips. But what about your heart? What about your heart, Mom and Daddy? Those things are going to affect your children. Those things are going to affect this next generation. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Are we walking in these additional days that God has given us by His grace? Are we walking in accordance to God's will? Are we rendering unto God according to the benefit that He's given us? Or are we walking in the flesh, walking in our own self-will, walking in pride? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the message tonight. I thank You for the rebuke, the reproof, the truth of the Word of God. And I don't enjoy having to get serious and solemn like this, but Lord, it is good for us. Every now and then, we just need another heart checkup. We need to look in and realize what really is in there. Are we walking with God with a pure heart? Are we walking with God with a perfect heart? Or are we really guilty of some hypocrisy? We're saying the words. We're honoring the day, celebrating the day. But we're not really giving thanks to God like You deserve. We're not really giving You our life. Our heart may be far from You. Oh, Lord, I pray, draw us. Draw us with cords of love. Draw us with Your wooing. And Lord, I want to thank You that You're a gracious God. You warn us of these things so we can make it right. Lord, I pray You'd help tonight move on hearts, get the glory. Lord, if there be some sinner here, I pray You'd save them before it's too late. The saints of God, Lord, help us to walk before You in a perfect way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, the altar's open.
534.
If you need to come, obey the Lord.